open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. A few weeks ago, I was talking about the office of the prophet to this congregation, to many of you. And the place that the office of the prophet holds to the nations. And we're looking here an example of a prophet. And that's found in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Let me read it to you. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, I separated you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. That is the place that Jeremiah had, was as a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces. So often we find when a prophet will deliver a word, oftentimes people don't like it. They don't like what they hear. They don't like what they're doing. They don't like what's coming out. But the Lord was saying to him, obviously there were some things that he needed to say and things that Jeremiah needed to do that he had to say to them, Be not afraid of their faces, for I will deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, the hand of the Lord. And it says, He touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, in the Holman translation of verses 9 and 10, it says, Then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth. He told me, I have filled your mouth with my words. Filled your mouth with my words. See, I've appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, to demolish, to build, and to plant. Those words are so important. They're so important when we're talking about the office of the prophet and the prophetic words that come forth, because those words have the power within themselves to change things, to transform things. As it says, to uproot, tear down, destroy, demolish, to build, and to plant. Words are the primary equipment of the prophet's ministry. That's how they operate. They speak words. They speak powerful words into the areas that they are responsible for. Prophetic words are spoken with an unusual force and a level of authority in relation to the realms they are responsible for. They have a force behind them, a power behind them. They speak words, weighty words, that change realms, change spheres, change nations, and change kingdoms. Working here at this ministry, I've observed for many, many years the prophet's anointing in Brother Copeland and the things that he says and how those words affect change. They transform things. And one of the primary examples that I use is the Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall was constructed in August of 1961. On June the 4th, 1989, Brother Copeland was preaching here in our chapel on property to a group of people. And the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. The Berlin Wall will come down. It is a sign. The Berlin Wall will come down. There will be other walls that will come down. There will be some walls that will go up. Now, what took place? 158 days later, the Berlin Wall came down. November the 9th, 1989. 28 years after it was built. Do you see the power of the prophetic word? And how the prophetic word will do exactly what God was speaking to Jeremiah. He told him, these words will uproot things. They will tear down things. They will destroy. They will demolish. They will build and they will plant. The prophetic word. How important that is to us. Well, what about the prophetic words that have been spoken over coronavirus, COVID-19? There have been words that have been spoken and have been declared. There's a man that I'm familiar with, but I'm learning more about, and his name is Chuck Pierce. And Chuck Pierce evidently is a prophet who delivers words from the Lord, just in the same way that Jeremiah had words given to him from the Lord to speak. And what I've done is I've done kind of a timeline of some prophetic words that were spoken and delivered. And these are very important to us. Listen very carefully. During the head of the year 5780 meeting, there was a meeting that took place in September of 2019. Chuck Pierce was in this meeting. And he prophesied during that meeting, the nations will come to turmoil until Passover. The nations will come to turmoil until Passover. Well, back in September of 2019, we weren't considering a worldwide pandemic. That was not in our thinking. That is not what we were considering. However, I must tell you this. I was standing up here today looking out over this empty auditorium. And I was thinking back on a dream that I had before all of this took place. I had a dream that I was standing up here preaching to an empty auditorium. And I woke up from the dream and I must admit, I rebuked it. I didn't. At first, there were a few people here. And then I was preaching to the empty auditorium. Well, the Lord was endeavoring to get something across to me. I didn't ignore that dream. But it shook me a little bit of what was yet to come. And here I am preaching to this empty auditorium. Brother Copeland is over here with Dr. Weider. But here we are. But this word from Chuck Pierce, the nations will come to turmoil until Passover. Now, as I read these, keep in mind the operative word here is Passover. It's Passover. The Lord is wanting to draw our attention to this word Passover. Chuck Pierce, attended another meeting in January of this year. It was called Starting the Year Off Right 2020. That was the name of the meeting, Starting the Year Off Right 2020. And in that January meeting, before all of this took place, the word of the Lord came to him saying, there will be a massive plague-like invasion that will test us through Passover. There will be a massive plague-like invasion that will test us through Passover. On February 27th, this year, as a matter of fact, Pastor Terry and I were in Australia and we were conducting the Spirit-led prayer conference there. The timing of that was so perfect because they'd given the announcement that Monday following our meeting that they were going to begin to limit the size of congregations and people who could gather at that time. So we were there doing kingdom business in Australia. And at one point, I happened to look down at my phone and there was a news bulletin that came up And it was about President Trump. And President Trump was talking about the coronavirus. And this is what he said. He said, it's going to disappear one day. It's like a miracle. It will disappear. That shook me. I looked at that. I'll tell you something right now about the President of the United States. And I believe I'll check this out with Brother Copeland when he comes back up to receive communion with us. We can both talk about this. But Brother Copeland, I really do sense that our president is operating to a degree from the office of the prophet. There are words, declarations that he's spoken over this nation that are powerful. I've not heard presidents in the past speak as he's been speaking. And concerning this coronavirus, he said, it's going to disappear. It's going to disappear. One day, it's like a miracle. It will disappear. And what we did at the Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, we took that, we spoke it, we stood on it, and we believed it. We received it. We took hold of that word. It will disappear. This will disappear. Okay, going further down into the year. This is now March the 5th. Thursday, March the 5th. This is what Chuck Pierce posted on his Facebook. One of the key words for this year is Passover. We must continue to sharpen our declarations that we're delivered from the power of the enemy as we celebrate this feast. A key word for this year is Passover. And I like the way he put this. I had not heard this before. Said quite like this. We have to sharpen our declarations that we are delivered from the power of the enemy as we celebrate this, as we celebrate Passover. We have to do that. And you know, one of the scriptures that the Lord has had me confessing and, as he said, declaring or sharpening my declarations is from Isaiah 54. I've been declaring this. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The Amplified Bible there says, you will triumph over oppression. So what we're doing is we're sharpening our declarations. As we come closer and closer to Passover, we are sharpening our declarations. You see, the word of the Lord that comes, as I heard Brother Copeland say this, the prophet is given words for us to speak, for us to act on. You don't just hear a prophetic word, say, oh, that's wonderful, and move on. There's a prophetic word that's been given about this year. It hangs right here above me in our services. You can get a wide shot of that. 2020, the year of new visions. New visions, manifest power, and great change. Oh my, have we seen great change? Have we seen great change? So these words have been coming. September, the nations will come to turmoil until Passover. January, there'll be a massive plague-like invasion that will test us through Passover. February, it's going to disappear one day. It's like a miracle. It will disappear. March the 5th, one of the key words for this year is Passover. We have to continue to sharpen our declarations that we are delivered from the power of the enemy as we celebrate this feast. Every time Brother Copeland writes his partner letter, and partners, you need to know he writes his partner letter. He doesn't dictate his partner letter. A computer doesn't produce his partner letter. He hand writes his partner letter. And I've given instruction that every time he handwrites his partner letter, handwrites it, they need to email that to me, Pastor George. I get that right away. I want to read it. I want to know what he's saying. And so I received that and I'll print that out. I've kept those handwritten copies of those partner letters. And they sent me the other day the partner letter for the month of April coming up. And I want to give you just a preview of part of the letter that he wrote because it falls right in line with what we're talking about here. In the letter, Brother Copeland writes, Passover is April the 8th. That is very significant. Last Sunday morning after church, and that was March the 15th, that's when that Pastor Mark was speaking here in Hankins. So that was that day. He was in the service. He went home. He said, Glory and I stood on the front porch of our house facing the front door. We went through the motions of sprinkling the blood. That's what Pastor Mark, one of the things he was talking about the blood of Jesus. What an amazing, amazing teaching that was. You can go on the EMIC website to the archive, March the 15th. Listen to that. That's so powerful, what he said. Anyway, Kenneth and Gloria stood at the front of their house, went through the motions of sprinkling the blood on the top and down the sides as they did in Exodus 12, 5 through 7 and verse 13, which he then, in his letter, he'll write copy and then they'll fill that in for him. So here's what it says. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And then in verse 13, it says this, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. So many are watching this right now from their house, from your house, your apartment, the place where you dwell. You're watching it from there. This is significant. They take the blood, strike it on the two side posts of the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. In verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Brother Copeland writes, now look at verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come unto your houses to smite you. And then he wrote this. When he sees the blood of the lamb upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer, COVID-19, to come in unto your houses and smite you. Glory to God, he writes. Glory to God. He continues to write. Friday evening a week ago, Glory and I were in bed listening to Brother Hagin when at 9:24 p.m., the word of the Lord came to me saying, this disease called COVID-19 will be over much sooner than you think. It will be over much sooner than you think. Give me all the glory, saith the Spirit of grace, and many, many people will come to know me through it. I am still the Lord over the nation. And I'm on the throne, and faith in me changes things. There have been proclamations of how long this thing will last, and how long it will go, and how long people will have to be confined. But we are in a time of supernatural acceleration. We're in a time, and the prophets of the land are talking about, they're talking about Passover. They're talking about Passover. And now we're beginning to see some others catching on to it that, may I dare say, they may not have heard these words, but there was something given to me just yesterday. Here's the headline of it. Nobel laureate predicts U.S. will have much faster coronavirus recovery than expected. Do you take that? I take that. I receive that. And here's just the top of this. It says Stanford University biophysicist Michael Levitt correctly calculated China will get through the worst of its coronavirus epidemic earlier than most health experts estimated. Now he sees a similar outcome for the United States and other affected countries. The disease called COVID-19 will be over much sooner than you think. I need to hear a worldwide collective, I receive that right now. Are you ready? On three. One, two, three. I receive that. I receive it. I take it right now. In the name of Jesus. It will be over much sooner than you think. Why is that? Why is it that it will be over much sooner than we think? Well, that is because it is Amos 9:13 time. We're here. We're here in Amos 9:13. What does 9:13 say? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. This is acceleration. We're in a time of acceleration. And I really do believe the closer we get to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see that acceleration take place. But listen to what the Message translation says. It says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. Everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. It'll make everything right again for my people. I believe that. I believe that's the time that we are in. This disease called COVID-19 will be over much sooner than you think. And all indicators now are pointing towards Passover. Passover. We are in the time of supernatural acceleration. Things are moving much faster. When I first stepped into the position of CEO here again, back in January of 2017, the Lord said, you will get more done in one day than you have. You'll get more done in one year than you have in 20 years. And we've been experiencing that. One thing upon another, supernatural acceleration has been taking place. Let me give you an example of, of that supernatural acceleration. I wrote something down here, and I didn't think about using it, but I want to read this to you. Supernatural acceleration. There was... In John chapter 6, verses 15, listen to this. That evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Don't get in the boat without Jesus. Soon, a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. They'd rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified. But he called out to them, don't be afraid, I'm here. And they were eager to let him, in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. And I did some figuring out about what exactly took place there. The total trip across the Galilee was 9 miles. The disciples had rowed 3 or 4 miles at the most. It said they immediately made shore the moment that Jesus stepped into the boat. They traveled 6 miles in less than a second. That is supernatural acceleration. Here's another one. Supernatural acceleration. This is from 2 Kings 7:1. You can tell I haven't preached for several weeks here. 2 Kings 7:1 in the Message, Elisha said, "Listen, God's word, the famine's over. This time tomorrow, food will be plentiful. A handful of meal for a shekel, 2 handfuls of grain for a shekel. The market at the city gate will be buzzing." That's where we are. That's what's happening. And it's hard for people, it's hard for people to see that. It's hard for people to accept that. But we are in a time of acceleration. We're in a time of time that's speeding up. Things are speeding up. Things are happening faster than ever. This plague will end as quickly as it started. Do you believe that? Do you receive that? This plague will end as quickly as it started. I go back to Brother Copeland's word. It will be over much sooner than you think. See, we have to believe that. We have to stand on that. We have to sharpen our declarations of faith as we approach Passover. I want you to look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And what we are going to do today is we're going to stop this virus. We're going to stop it. It's the end of this thing. It needs to shut down. It needs to pull to a halt. And the church needs to rise up and take their place and shut this thing down. That's what we need to do. In Psalm 106, verse 29, I'm going to read it to you first from the Holman translation. Then I'll go to the King James translation. We're going to shut this down together. This is going to be a worldwide communion service. And this is shutting down. It says in the Holman translation, "They provoked the Lord with their deeds, and a plague broke out against them. But Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped." I added the word in there, "immediately." It stopped. "It was credited to him as righteousness throughout all generations to come." Now, first of all, who was this man? Who was Phinehas? Well, he was the grandson of Aaron, the first high priest of Israel. He was the son of Eleazar, the second high priest of Israel. He became the third high priest of Israel. He stopped Israel's fall into idolatrous practices and the desecration of God's sanctuary. But he also did this, and this was credited to him as righteousness throughout all generations to come. What did he do? He stopped a plague. He stopped a plague. He executed judgment upon the plague. Now, this is what the King James Version says. "Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. And so the plague was stayed." When I was reading that, I kept looking at those two words. He executed judgment. He executed judgment. He stood up. He stood up. He did the same thing that Jesus did when they were on the Galilee and they were going through the storm and the disciples turned around to him. He was asleep in the back of the boat. And they turned around to him and said, "Master, we perish." Jesus stood up. And in just a moment, when we receive communion, we are going to stand up. Standing up represents the stand of faith that we take. We are going to stand up. Jesus stood up. And what did he do? He executed judgment on the storm. Peace, be still. And that storm stopped immediately. Immediately it stopped. We need to see some immediately's. I was reading the other day through my Gospels and looking at all of the places. All of the places, I have them written down here, all of the places that people were healed immediately. They were healed immediately. Jesus put forth his hand. He touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. Immediately coronavirus was cleansed from that individual. Immediately. Say immediately. Immediately. And it goes on and on and on and on. So what we need to do, we need to stand up on our faith. We need to agree with these prophetic words. We need to execute judgment against COVID-19 and stop the plague. Go to Galatians 3. I'm beginning to wind this up and then we're going to receive communion. Galatians chapter 3. And you know where I'm going with this. Galatians chapter 3. In verse 13, you need to look at this in your Bible. You need to lay your eyes on this scripture. Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I wrote in my Bible, me. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham may come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. According to Deuteronomy 28, verses 21, 59, 61, and 66, plagues are under the curse of the law. Written four times in there. Plagues are under the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from COVID-19. We have dominion. We have authority. And as we raise our voices together to execute covenant judgment on this thing, it has to shut down by the name of Jesus, the name which is above every name. I was talking to Brother Copeland the other day. And all the time when I talk to him on the phone, I have pad and paper, and if Terry is there, we record it on her phone. And he said something so significant. He said to me, and it's very simple, it is time to break the neck off this thing. It's time to break the neck off this thing. So here's what I want to do. I want the musicians to come back up here. Brother Copeland, will you please join me up here? And we're going to receive communion together, and we are going to break the neck off of this thing. Because according to Galatians 3, 13 and 14, we have been redeemed from the curse of COVID-19 plague.
Right before we do that, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Let's go there in Exodus 12. And that 13th verse, Exodus 12, 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. You read this earlier. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Look at the 23rd verse. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel,
yes,
and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in. Now, where you were in Malachi this morning.
Yes, sir.
That's the same destroyer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same destroyer.
Same one. Yes. Yes.
Verse 11, this is the tither. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy.
That's right. The destroyer will not destroy.
He can't come in across that bloodline. I just drew a bloodline across the front of my house.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I said this, you don't cross this bloodline, Satan. You destroyer, you don't come into my house. You don't come into this house.
Woo.
And I pointed up here toward the church and toward the headquarters.
Yep.
I said, this represents every door in my house. This represents the door to my body.
That's right.
And you don't come in the headquarters.
Yep.
You don't come in EMIC. The blood is on the door. The blood is over the door.
That's right.
We make a bloodline. You can't cross
cross
bless
it.
God. You can't destroy my finances
that's
and all of that.
That's right.
I am a tither and I will not allow the destroyer in my house. Yahoo! Glory to God.
The destroyer, behold, they shall surely gather together,
but not by me.
Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I've created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, that brings forth an instrument for his work. I've created the waster that destroys. So because of that,
he's responsible for him.
Because of that, no weapon.
That's right. Think about this, George. God created him. He's responsible for
That's
him.
Right. That's right. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Let me ask you.
I tell you, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask you this. As I was preparing this message today, I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? And those prophetic words just kept coming before me and coming before all of that leading up to Passover.
Yes.
Passover. And then there was one, the president, the prophet.
George. The first time I ever saw him, Paula White had gathered a number of us, Trump Tower, to introduce him to us back in 2016. She said, let's all gather around Mr. Trump and pray for him. Brother Copeland, would you come lead us in this?
Yes.
George, I had my hands right here. I got my spiritual antenna up. I want to see, and of course he's a big man. I had my hands right here. I prayed like he was already president.
You sure did.
I just moved over into the spirit.
Yep.
And I said words to this effect. I said, Father, Lord, how did I say that? No man can do this job without your wisdom.
Right.
And I pray that you fill this man's heart and something like this, because it's prophetic, so I really don't remember the words that came out of my spirit, with your wisdom. I prayed like he was already president. God knew he was.
Yeah.
And he had me with my hands on him.
Right.
Praying for that wisdom.
Yes.
Now, that wisdom in the first covenant, the Holy Spirit was reserved for the prophet,
the king,
the priest,
and the king. Yes. Yes.
It still is.
Yes.
Because when you're born again, and he is, then you have been made unto our God a priest and a king. And he stands and the office tantamount to a king. And that wisdom is working, through him, and he's speaking prophetically.
Yeah. Well, what he said, this was Tuesday. Yeah. He said, I would love to have the country opened up and raring to go by Easter.
That's what he said.
Wouldn't it be great to have all the churches full?
Now people said, he wants all the churches. No, he said, wouldn't it be great?
Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be
great?
You need
to listen to what the king said.
That's right.
he says, and I'm talking about the President of the United States, of course.
Yes.
He is speaking continually by the Spirit. He said, wouldn't it
be great?
Be great.
Yeah.
For all the churches to be filled. Well, Easter is just 4 days after Passover, which is the 8th.
Yeah.
I don't know how that stupid rabbit got in there, but that this is not Easter Sunday to us. This is Passover Sunday.
Passover Sunday.
We celebrate Passover. Now, I'm not knocking that. If your kids want to chase around after eggs, that's, you know, but teach them the truth.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Well, he said, wouldn't it be great? I would love to have the country opened up and raring to go by Easter. Wouldn't it be great to have all the churches full? You will have packed churches all over our country. I think it will be a beautiful time. See, that's falling right in line with what the Lord gave you, with what the Lord gave Chuck Pierce, and with what people are saying that I don't know him. This is the laureate, the man that he's saying this will be much faster recovery than expected. It's starting to happen.
Yeah, it is.
People are saying it. Yeah. So I wanted to just double check with you because of Finus and what he did as the high priest.
Mm-hmm.
He executed judgment and the plague stopped.
Yes.
And I really sensed that that's what we needed to do today, is to execute judgment and stop it.
I left here going to England. Mars Cirulo had been invited to come to England for the last gathering ever of this major auditorium. He was the last one to ever hold a meeting there, and they asked him to come and have it there again. So he invited me to come, and I went. And Bill Winston, is that you? I didn't know Bill was there. He had invited Bill, but he was in Africa, so he came. Now listen to this. I said, Bill, come up here. We're going to stop this Ebola today.
Yes, I remember that.
We're going to kill it.
Yes, yes, yes.
We did judgment on that thing, and it was just a few days later, thing was killed.
Praise God.
And over. Far more worse than this thing will ever dare to be. But look what God was doing. He moved me from here. He moved Bill from Africa. And we came together. And we broke the power of that thing.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
I believe that's what we need to do.
We'll exercise judgment right now.
Because we
have... In the name of Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God, I execute judgment on you, COVID-19.
Oh,
I execute judgment on you, Satan, you destroyer, you killer, you get out, we break your power, you get off this nation. I demand judgment on you. I demand a vaccination to come immediately.
Yes.
from your place of authority, destroyer. You come down and you crawl on your belly like God commanded you when he put his foot on your head in the Garden of Eden. You will destroy through COVID-19. No more!
No more! No more!
It...
No more.
...is finished.
Finished.
It is over. And the United States of America is healed and well.
Thank you.
Again.
Praise.
Saith the mighty
Hallelujah.
Spirit.
Glory.
Glory. Peace, who is also the Prince of War, the Lord Jesus Christ. When oppressive, mean, nasty people attack his people, when mean, oppressive, nasty diseases attack his people, George, the Prince of Peace takes his place. And he becomes the mighty man of war.
Thank you.
I believe in war.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I hate it, but I believe in it. And our president has become a war president.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
And he has the strategy. He stepped out and declared it. Thank God for him. Thank God for him.
The spirit life of COVID-19 has dried up.
It's dead.
It's dead.
It's dead.
Done. It has ceased.
Yes.
It has ceased to exist.
Yes.
It's beginning to shrivel.
Yes.
It's beginning to draw
yes.
up and shrivel
yes.
and disintegrate.
Yes. At exactly 12 noon on the 29th day of March.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Come on, give God glory and praise and honor for this.
It's over. Over.
It's over.
Oh, it's over.
Those of you that have communion elements, go get them right now. Brother Copeland and I are going to receive, we're going to seal this, seal the deal on this one. It's dead. It's dead. It is dead. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we lift up the nations to you right now. I lift up Italy to you in Jesus.
Yes.
And thank you for a massive wave of the healing power of God in Italy. Lord, we pray over New York.
Yes.
We pray over California, Los Angeles area. We thank you for the Spirit of God moving in such a powerful way. We see healings. We see people being delivered. We see them being set free right now. Father, we pray over New Orleans and praise you.
Yes.
No, that is no longer an epicenter. In Jesus' name, it is a place of healing and peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for us. By his stripes that he received, we were healed. We are the healed. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within us, all of us, and is making alive our mortal flesh. And the life of Jesus is made manifest in our flesh right now.
George, the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th chapters of John, we're all seated around that covenant
yes,
table.
Yes.
And all of those marvelous things that he said, he was standing there.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
In this covenant meal, and that linen cloth was folded in three folds. And three pieces of unleavened bread. And he took out the top one and he put it back. He took out the second one and put it back. He took out the third one and put it back. Up until this night, it had represented Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who became Israel. And you go back then to that middle one. And he took it out. And he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. Broken for you. Eat it." Hallelujah. Just savor it. Just savor it. He had said, and he just frightened everybody and turned everybody off. He said, "I'm the bread. Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood." And they said, we don't want to listen to a thing like that. They just left. Yeah. He's already talking it. He's already saying it.
Thank you, Jesus.
And oh, George, he took that cup.
Precious, precious cup.
And he said, "All of you drink of it." It was very important that Judas drink of this cup.
Yes.
Very important. Now remember, in true blood covenant, when you enter into a blood covenant, you become the friend that sticks closer than a brother, and friend is always capitalized. Thank God in the King James Version, it is so in the book of James that Abraham became the friend of God. What did Jesus say to them? He said, "I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Tonight we're covenanted together."
Yes, yes, yes.
Now listen, he gave Judas the second covenant and allowed him to sop in his plate. It was a temporary meal covenant. And then when he came up and kissed him, Jesus called him friend.
Yes.
Judas broke the covenant. Jesus did not.
He didn't do it.
And he, God is my special friend. And he's my very father. And Jesus is my brother.
Thank you, Jesus.
How precious.
How precious is the blood.
How precious.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Oh, may I do something here?